how to teach students who are better than you. So I've been teaching at this point 23 years, and I have definitely had experiences where the student excelled beyond my skill level in certain areas. No one's ever been better than me overall, but I believe that's also possible that you can teach that person even if their skills are better overall. And even if their skills are better overall, or if they're better in just one particular area, you can still teach them very effectively. The bottom line is, as long as the student is being challenged and having fun, you're delivering value. You're delivering great value to them. Even if it's a great case where they're doing something that they could have figured out to do on their own, or that they even already knew how to do on their own, but you're making them do it, you're being a personal trainer. So that has value. You know, I always want to get a personal trainer. I don't have one now, but I always think that something I would like to spend money on when I have, you know, that much extra money that's disposable. And the reason is the accountability factor, and just the, you know, the sheer fact that I know I'll do it. And, you know, like, that's no small thing. So don't discount that. You don't always have to deliver information as a teacher. You can just be a personal trainer. I mean, think of it like this. Even therapists have therapists. And, you know, let's call it therapist A goes to therapist B for therapy. And, you know, does therapist B have to be better than therapist A? No, they just have to listen and, like, do the therapist thing. In fact, most likely, therapist A, who knows what therapy is like, is not expecting, you know, new stuff necessarily. Like, it's almost like the better the student, the more things they have to practice, the more things they can practice, and the more things they could practice or even should practice, and you simply are their guide to do so. So that's point number one. How do you teach someone who's better than you? One, make them train on stuff they already know and want to do better at, just even without imparting any new information. Number two, give them a new perspective. Okay, this could mean a lot of different things. It could mean integrating two things. All right, let's just use an example. The student is really good at harmony. So, like, they can take a melody and harmonize it based on a certain chord progression. And they're also good at legato. I'm just making this up. They're good at legato. And they're good at, you know, expressive elements, like hammer-ons, like bending and vibrato and stuff. So they would have to pick one of their favorite melodies or solos, or a little section of it. This is just an example. And not only harmonize the melody, but match the exact intonation of the expressive elements that the original solo uses. In other words, they have to match the vibrato exactly. They have to match the bending or the legato or whatever it is. I did this once. We had a training in Chicago where they paired us up. It was great fun, actually. You had to make up a line. One of you had to make up a melodic line within a certain scale. I can't remember if they dictated the key or in the scale or if we did. But either way, guitarist A, let's just call it, and guitarist B would be me. So A makes up a line, and then I have to harmonize the line within the context of whatever harmony we agree to, and then match the vibrato and the expressive elements exactly so it sounds like, you know, like the Iron Maiden thing where it's two guitars, or Thin Lizzy, or whatever example you want to use where they play two guitars in unison playing melodic lines and it sounds amazing. You know, this is just one example of integrating. In other words, the student would have to integrate their knowledge of harmony with their knowledge of expressive elements. And that's, you know, that could be a great challenge and something that's great fun for them. Right? Now, they have to work out all the details. You're just providing the inspiration for the exploration. All right? Don't discount that. So one was train them. Two, just raw, make them do something they need to work on. Two, give them a new perspective. And this is 2A, which is integrating two different skills. Okay? B of giving them a new perspective on something they already know would be like a rhythmic perspective. They could try something they already know how to do with rhythm. Like, let's just say they know the circle of fifths and they can play major scales in every key. And they can do it all in one position. So now you add the rhythmic element to it, which is, again, I'm just making this up on the fly. They have to do the table of time with it, which means, like, for one bar they play a whole note, next bar they play a half note, next bar they play quarter notes, and then eighth notes, and then sixteenths, etc. And then they have to keep going around like that. Or you can add in triplets. You can make the game as hard or easy as necessary. Usually the sweet spot is something that's moderately challenging and easy to keep track of. If it's too many rules, it's too complicated, it's not going to be fun. But that's that all falls under B, give them a new perspective. I'm sorry, that falls under number two, of which B is give them a new perspective. And then part three would be actually teach them something that they don't specialize in and just invite them to explore it. Okay, we all have areas of specialty. Like, no one guitarist knows everything. They have their particular way of doing it. I'm talking pro-level guitarists. You know, Yngwie Malmsteen has amazing technique and knows a ton of stuff, but he doesn't know everything that Joe Satriani knows, or he doesn't use everything, every technique, the way Joe Satriani uses it, and vice versa. Or pick any two guitarists. The same could be said for, you know, Jonathan Kreisberg or for Rosenwinkel or any name, whether it's rock, jazz, classical, fusion, whatever. Like, it makes no difference. Blues, Joe Bonamassa. So there's some area of specialty that you have that they don't have. They either don't have it at all, i.e., like, let's say you're a classical guitarist and they never play with their fingers. It could be an interesting experience. So invite them to try it. Give them a simple exercise just to you know, expand their horizons. The danger with this category is that you may give them something that's not within their goals. So it would be better if you looked at their goals first and then thought to yourself, well, is there any area that they don't specialize in? Like, for example, I've been getting into Afro-Cuban music a lot lately. And I've learned all this stuff about, like, different rhythmic patterns in 4-4 and 6-8. I've learned about montunos and bass lines and even the certain claves and, you know, drum patterns and cascara and all this. And because of that, I recently wrote an article called Interlocking Rhythms. And it doesn't mean that the student has to suddenly start becoming interested in Afro-Cuban music, but I extracted some of the principles of my discoveries within that music that any musician can apply to. So that's what you want to look for. You want to look for some area of specialty that you have, not so that they can also specialize in it. Because if you tell me, you know, you're a classical guitarist and you play only with fingers, you know, I may not be interested in that. But what from that can you give me that I can extract that I might be interested in? You know, I personally do hybrid picking and economy picking, which are two specific things. Maybe they want to be introduced to that for situations where they have to change strings rapidly, like skip strings rapidly, that is. And, you know, hybrid picking is way easier than alternate picking when you're skipping strings. So, you know, give them a reason why to learn that particular thing, and then they'll be much more into it. And then category four is deliver some information that you discover but you didn't generate. And that could be within my 500 and some odd posts online. I can show you how to get access to those posts. The posts that I use to put on people's student pages to reinforce certain lessons, or occasionally even replace a lesson that they couldn't do. In other words, when they reach the end of the month, if they didn't do all the lessons they signed up for, they have the right to request a pre-recorded lesson. And I use those, I call them posts. And there's 500 some odd of them. And I can show you the list. And you just simply take a post that I've made that you think is going to challenge them and fit their goals. And you share it with them. Chances are it'll be a PDF or a video or something. Maybe you watch a little bit of the video beforehand. And then you can give that to them in the lesson without even really knowing how to do the content. You just know, as long as you know what the content is and the fact that it's relevant to them, you don't have to know how to do the content or be good at it. If they ask you for clarification or technical clarification of any kind, and you're not sure, just say, I'm not sure. But you just take your best educated guess, or you invite them to take their best educated. You could say, I'm not sure, what do you think? And then, you don't have to know everything all the time. This is, something I had to learn. I certainly remember when I first started teaching, I thought, and I even made a mistake once with a new student, and I felt bad about it. And I was at that time dating a woman who had a master's degree in opera singing. And she said, don't worry about it, you're going to teach wrong stuff all the time. And I don't think she meant that literally. I think she just meant, you do the best you can. You're not going to know everything in every situation. Now, after 23 years, I look forward to not knowing something because it means an opportunity for me to learn and grow. And it doesn't happen very often. But it does happen where students are better than me at certain things. I remember one time one girl got better than me at fingerstyle. She got further along in the book that I had introduced her to. There was volume 1 and volume 2. I only made it through volume 1. And I never went into volume 2. And she got into volume 2. And I thought it was terrific. And yes, we would do that during lesson time. Because it was easier for her to do it in lesson time than just take the book home and do it. Again, the accountability thing. I also had a metal student one time who was way further than me with sweep picking. And I didn't know what to teach him there, so I didn't. I just didn't cover that topic at all. There were plenty other topics, musicianship topics, that I needed to, that he needed reinforcing on. So, but I'm digressing on number three. Number three is find something relevant related to what they already know how to do and they want to improve at, like a website or some kind of training module that I made, or like an article that you discover. Like, you might have to do a little research here, but deliver something that you didn't create that's relevant to them. Now, this may not be, you may not always have time to do all this in group classes. So that's why you do have to spend time planning what you're going to do, with a student, particularly when they're better than you. But just remember the bottom line as I sum up the thing. Again, the bottom line is, as long as they're having fun and training on something, that you're delivering big value to them, even if you didn't quote teach them that hour. Next, summarizing the whole thing we did. Number one, just train them. Number two, give them a new perspective on something they already know, like integrating or adding another element that they hadn't considered. And number three, teach them something, area of specialty that you know, that you're either showing them the thing itself or extracting principles from the thing itself that they can play, that they can incorporate into their own playing. And then the fourth one was find an existing bit of content for them to chew on, like an article or a post that I made or some YouTube video or something that you look at and know what it is. You can't just slap it in front of them without knowing what it is. So I hope that clarifies things. And you should, as a teacher, you should look forward to that situation when you're trying to teach someone who's better than you. Recently, I had one of my best students. Actually, I should say not the best student, but not best in terms of quality of student. Quality of student means, always show up on time, always show up with a good attitude, always do what you tell them, always practice what you tell them. Like, that's a model student. But what I mean is, one of the most highly skilled students asked me about a teacher's background and what their background was, like wondering, are they going to be able to teach me? Are they better than me? And I said to them, I didn't answer the question. I said, it could happen that your skill set is better than the teacher's skill set, Mr. Student. And as long as you're getting value, as long as they're training you, I told them the story about how my former teaching mentor, his hero was Yngwie Malmsteen. And the teaching mentor said, if I had Yngwie Malmsteen in the room, I could still bust his chops. Meaning I could come up with plenty of ideas and ways to practice that Yngwie hadn't thought of that would keep him busy and keep him happy. And that's really all it comes down to. And that's what I told this student who has a lot of skill set, that it may happen that your skill set is bigger than the student who's the person who's teaching you. And as long as you're getting value and having fun, that's what it's all about.